Support for this program by the Alaska Native Heritage Center. Experience more than 10,000 years of history and culture through art, dance, film, and more. Exploring your home state is the COVID-safe way to enjoy the summer.
Welcome to Native America Calling. From Albuquerque, I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes have a new plan to address missing and murdered indigenous people in Montana. Efforts in New Mexico and Minnesota are also strengthening outreach on the issue. Work is being done on the tribal, local, statewide, and national level to tackle the troubling numbers of missing and murdered indigenous relatives. We'll talk about some of the tireless involvement by some leaders seeking to keep focus on the issue. Right after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Tripp Krause in for Antonia Gonzalez. The Rocky Boy Buffalo Project received approval for funding for labor costs to better manage incoming Yellowstone bison. Taylor Stagner has more.
The Intertribal Buffalo Council awarded the Chippewa Cree Indians of Rocky Boy roughly $20,000 to help fund labor costs. The Rocky Boy Buffalo Project has already made plans with the American Prairie Reserve in Malta to bring a handful of bison to the reservation in September of this year. Sustainability coordinator for the Rocky Boy Reservation, Jason Belcourt, works with the Rocky Boy Buffalo Project. He says that the tribe wants to start slow with a herd of less than 10.
We have a management plan that allows for 20 to be head, but we didn't want to just get right to that. We reintroduced the buffalo here and build that relationship.
Belcourt says instead of hiring new employees to manage the bison, they are planning to use the money to supplement the salaries of the tribe's fish and game employees and have them take on the responsibilities of taking care of the bison. For National Native News, I'm Taylor Stagner.
For the first time, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has a tribal research coordinator. NOAA is a key federal leader of environmental research. As KDLG's Mackenzie Mancuso reports, those involved say the new position is a step toward better representation for Alaska's indigenous communities.
Mabel Baldwin Schaefer is the first tribal coordinator for the Alaska Fisheries Science Center's communications program. She was born and raised in Kiana, a small Inupiaq village on the Kobuk River in northwest Alaska. She says she will bring that perspective with her.
Near and dear to my heart has always been to improve local participation and to engage Alaskan communities in research development.
As a tribal coordinator, Baldwin Schaefer will facilitate existing communications and outreach efforts to communities. She will also act as a liaison between NOAA and communities that rely on subsistence when scientific research takes place in the future.
My job is to help enhance and strengthen research networks in order to build effective and meaningful collaborative partnerships with Alaskan Indigenous communities.
Baldwin Schaefer received her bachelor's degree in sustainability studies and a master's in environmental science from Alaska Pacific University. She previously led a collaborative study on offshore gold mining and its effects on the environment. Bob Foy, NOAA's science and research director, says that the partnership with Baldwin Schaefer will benefit the organization and indigenous communities across the state.
Our goal with that position is to bring information into our fisheries and marine mammal management process that includes indigenous knowledge.
Baldwin Schaefer says she is working to establish contacts and recruit participants from diverse backgrounds and viewpoints to engage with NOAA's projects. In Naknek, I'm Mackenzie Mancuso.
A three-judge panel of the D.C. Circuit Court ruled that Indian Health Services wrongly withheld medical care funding for a federally recognized tribe located along the Nevada-Oregon border. According to court documents, in 2016, IHS intended to shutter the emergency health services and health clinic that served two tribes in the area. That prompted the Fort McDermitt, Paiute, and Shoshone tribes to take over operations. Law 360 reported that IHS slashed its annual support of the program by 92%. The opinion said IHS withheld money because the other tribe, the Winnemucca Indian Colony of Nevada, had not consented to hand over their tribal share of the funding. The decision rules that the tribe is entitled to the same amount of funding that Indian Health Services deemed necessary to run the program itself, and IHS owes the Fort McDermitt tribe's funding going back to 2016. The case will go back to district court to decide how much of the remaining $550,000 was wrongfully withheld. For National Native News, I'm Trip Krause.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by the Center for Indigenous Cancer Research at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center, dedicated to cancer research, medicine, and cancer care for Indigenous population. A no-charge online risk assessment tool is available at roswellpark.org/assessme. Support by the Sanosky Chambers Law Firm, championing tribal sovereignty and defending Native American rights since 1976, with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The work of Native advocates and the families of missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and relatives is tireless. Their efforts involve keeping the cases of their loved ones in the eyes of law enforcement and policymakers. They're also calling on more resources and increased attention on the issue as they remember those who have lost their lives or gone missing. Tribes across the country are beefing up their efforts to address missing and murdered Indigenous people. Collaboration is an important part of the tribal work locally, statewide, and on a national level. Community-based efforts are leading the way in many plans and calls for policy action. Today, we're going to check in with some women who are involved in leading missing and murdered Indigenous relative movements tribally and statewide. We'll also hear how national and federal initiatives play a role. We want you to join the conversation today by giving us a call at 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. I'd like to introduce our guests for this hour. We have from the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes in Montana is Councilwoman Ellie Bundy. The Councilwoman has been involved in MMIW work before joining the Council in 2019. Also joining us is New Mexico Indian Affairs Secretary Lynn Trujillo. Trujillo's in charge of a statewide task force, which had just named its newest members. And from Minnesota, Senator Mary Kunesh. The senator has worked on legislation addressing the issue and has helped in the creation of a new office to focus on cases. Welcome, ladies, to Native America Calling.
Thank you.
Senator, yes, thank you so much. And Senator, let's start off the conversation by telling us about this office becoming a reality in Minnesota. How did it get started?
Well, thank you for inviting me here today and to talk about this issue that I am so passionate about. This past session, the Minnesota legislature passed legislation to create a permanent missing and murdered Indigenous relatives office within our state government. And it is it came to fruition through our task force, our Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force that was created just 2 years ago. We passed it with full support from both bodies and had 2 years, in spite of the COVID virus, the pandemic, to create and put together quite a comprehensive report. And within that report, we had approximately 20 mandates or recommendations. And the very first one was to create this permanent office to continue the work of exploring and identifying the issues that have historically plagued our Native communities, especially the violence, the missing and murdered against our women and girls.
And these statewide efforts seem to mirror each other, and there's a lot of work not only in Minnesota but across the country. And even here in New Mexico, we have a task force that released recommendations early last year after its work and which is continuing statewide. Secretary Trujillo, give us an update on what's next for the task force here in New Mexico.
Yeah, Ihinamopu Karimba, good morning, everyone, and thank you for having me be a part of this call. In May 5th of this year, Governor Lujan Grisham signed the executive order, which extended the task force, but also extended membership. And so we met most recently on Thursday, July 29th, to bring the new 40-member task force together to continue our work. Our future work is going to be centered around developing a state response plan for implementing those recommendations that were made in the 2020 report. We really want to make sure that we have some tangible plans in place for the upcoming 2022 legislative session, really that are centered from hearing from our communities and continuing to support those resources that are much needed in our communities.
And Councilwoman Bundy, there's a lot going on in Montana, especially on the tribal level with the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes. Share a little bit about some of the work that you've been involved with recently.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity to visit with you today. So the MMIP, we really started raising awareness in our community in January of 2019 when the CSKT tribe passed a resolution that established a work group that addressed the issue. And I think based on the work that we started doing at the local level, it provided us with an opportunity to begin building a tribal community response plan. And we were the first in the nation to work on that. That has been completed, and I can go into more detail on that if you're ready to learn more about that.
Sure. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, so just a little bit of history on the response plan. It began with tribal governments and American Indian and Alaska Native organizations who had expressed concerns of missing and murdered Indigenous peoples in our tribal communities. And in response to those messages in November of 2019 by executive order, President Trump established the Task Force on Missing and Murdered American Indian and Alaska Native Persons, and then Attorney General William Barr launched a national initiative to address missing and murdered Indigenous persons. And in addition, in October of 2020, President Trump signed into law Savannah's Act. All three of those responses included direction to develop guidelines and protocols to apply to and to address responses to missing, murdered Indigenous persons. So that's where CSKT first met with our Montana Missing Persons Coordinator, Ernie Wayand, and began working on our tribal community response plan. And the plan is really... it addresses how tribal communities will respond to reports of missing persons, and it's developed to address the specific needs of each unique community. And the plan is made up of four guides. There's one that addresses law enforcement, victim services, media and public communications, and community outreach. And so it was an amazing opportunity for us to be a part of that. I think the most beneficial thing is that it had people, important stakeholders, at the table to discuss the issues and identify gaps and seeing how we could work together to address those. Some of the great things that came out of our work sessions with stakeholders were that the law enforcement agencies with jurisdiction on our Flathead Reservation, and there's 10 of them, they all agreed to work under one common missing Indigenous persons response policy. That's really huge for us. They identified a new method of sharing information amongst the agencies. All of those agencies designated specific MMIP points of contacts, and that information was shared amongst the group. We established a new victim services policy and created a missing persons liaison, and that person was developed to help assist our missing persons investigator so that he could be more focused specifically on the investigations, and then the liaison would help communicate to the families who were were dealing with the missing loved ones. We developed media response protocols for all phases of the cases, ranging from prevention, reporting, searching and investigating, rescue and recovery, as well as the final stages of seeking justice. And then we were able to develop a comprehensive list of all of the resources that we could call upon in MMIP cases, both in our local community at the state level and at the national level. So amazing opportunity for us, and I really hope that other tribes get the opportunity to create their own tribal community response plans as well.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Councilwoman Bundy. There's definitely a lot of work that sounds like it's been in the works here there in Montana to get this plan together and all of these different avenues and collaborations that are needed. And I want to invite our audience to join in. What are some of the needs you see in your community? What are some of the plans that are working on? Or maybe there's even a family member who's lost a loved one and has a really passionate view on this issue. We invite you to join the conversation. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. We also take comments on our social media pages. You can find us on Facebook at Native America Calling or email us at comments@nativeamericacalling.com. Today we are talking with some folks in New Mexico, Minnesota, and Montana about some efforts to address missing and murdered Indigenous relatives. It seems like the cases we see a lot on the news media, and we follow this closely as well, and we're just getting some updates today, and our phone lines are open, so give us a call. Get in early. I know some of you like to listen and wait till the end of the hour, but give us a call at 1-800-996-2848. And I know we've talked a little bit about policy and how important policy is and law enforcement, but a lot of these actions are community-based and grassroots-led efforts that come from various groups in the community and tribal communities across the country, and also helping bring attention on the national level, locally, and statewide. And part of the work by community members, tribal leaders, and advocates is to keep not only the memories of their families alive, but also the cases and calls for policy action. And we, again, invite you to call in. We have to take a short break, but our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE, and we want to hear from you. We have three guests, Councilwoman Bundy, Secretary Trujillo, and Senator Kunesh. Give us a call. We're waiting to hear from you. The number of new job openings hit another record high in June. Some Native employers are having a hard time finding workers. Is it a short-term trend, or have things changed since before the pandemic? We'll look at the factors affecting the job market. That's on the next Native America Calling.
Support by Roswell Park, who know tribal communities face persistent challenges in health equity, such as cancer and higher death rates. The Center for Indigenous Cancer Research at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center is dedicated to advancing cancer research that will lead to translatable science, medicine, and cancer care for Indigenous populations worldwide. Are you at high risk for cancer? A no-charge online assessment tool is available at roswellpark.org/assessme.
You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Cases of missing and murdered Indigenous people continue to make headlines across the country Advocates, families, and tribal leaders continue to work on the issue. We're spending this hour with guests in three states who are sharing some of the work they're involved with. What's being done in your community? Are you seeing attention being given to this important issue? Give us a call. The phone lines are open. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And before we jump into this conversation with our three guests that are joining us today, let's head to the phone lines and hear from Melvin, who's in Santee, Nebraska, calling us from or listening to us on KZYK.
Good morning. This is such an important issue that has gone on for several years. I know Native American Calling has been at the forefront in getting this issue out. But I really feel it has to be local. You know, a lot of the ranches have warrior societies and different men's groups. It's time they step up too. You know, start patrolling these border towns and the rest itself. But we all need to step up here. This murdered, missing women. It's time for us men to step up. You know, protect our res, our women, our children. You know, we need to do something about it. And one suggestion came up down here was, well, we're a small res, two ways in and out. We should put those license plate readers up so that we know who's coming in and out of here. You know, we all know our local vehicles that drive by every day, know how they sound, but it's outsiders that come in. We need to keep track of that. Maybe these license plate readers that I see on TV on giving parking tickets and stuff, maybe they can be helpful.
Well, thank you so much, Melvin, for calling in and sharing your thoughts. And Senator Kunesh, Melvin brought up a good point about community-based efforts. Share a little bit about how your plans in Minnesota are community-based.
Oh, that's a really good question that Melvin brought up, or statement that Melvin brought up, because that has been part of our conversation as we go forward in addressing this issue in Minnesota. One of the issues, I'll just start out with one of the problems that we have, and especially in Minnesota, is jurisdiction on tribal land and off of tribal lands. Minnesota is a public law 280 state, and that's where the federal law sort of incorporated a method where the states can have jurisdiction over reservation land. This was, you know, at a time when tribes and reservations didn't have their own tribal policing authority or the means to create a police force. And so in Minnesota, we have experienced a lot of confusion and conflict around whose jurisdiction is it to look for or to address a murder in Indian land. And that is also same in many other states. So that is one of the things that we have begun to address, looking at how our tribal police can work with our county and state and federal police in addressing this issue. But Melvin also brings up a really good point around the community educating everybody around it, around this missing and murdered, the violence against women and children, Two-Spirits, men and boys as well. But it's also, it does, it takes the village to look out for each other. And, you know, we know that generationally and probably genetically, because of the trauma that our tribes and our members have experienced, you know, through the genocide and, of course, the boarding school era and then relocation, there's always been this disruption within the family unit of our American Indian families and communities. And so oftentimes we will sort of seem disassociated with some of these really painful issues and not necessarily acknowledge when there is abuse within a family or violence against a family member by, you know, somebody in the broader tribal communities. But we do, you know, part of our MMIR office will be around educating, will be about addressing and calling out the violence in our communities, but also having those resources available, counseling, addiction help, alcohol help, health-related services, all of those wraparound services that are going to be so important as we build healthy tribes once again. So that is a very good question, Melvin, and we do have to take responsibility for our own.
And Secretary Trujillo, the work of the task force is also community-led, community-based. There are policy makers on there. There's law enforcement. There's tribal leaders. But advocates and families have been a big source in New Mexico to keep focus on the issue. Secretary Trujillo, go ahead and talk about the community-led efforts.
Yeah, thanks, Antonia. I mean, as Melvin and the senator pointed out, I mean, we do need community to be involved. I mean, for a very long time prior to the establishment here in 2019 of the task force, there have been countless advocates and community allies who have been working around this issue. And I think it's to be commended and to also be included. And that's seen in our task force back in 2019, but also the extended task force. We have many members who are from coalitions, a coalition to stop violence against women, other community partners, the Diné relatives who are a part of our task force. And it's always been the department's approach to center the work of the task force and the department with respect to community. We've heard loud and clear from our tribal communities that they really want to lead in this response. And I think as somebody who is on the state level and helps inform policy, you know, I recognize that policy needs to be developed in collaboration with community. They know what's best for their communities. I have the privilege and honor to serve as secretary in this department to be a platform for, you know, community voices moving forward. And I just really am excited, and we need that support moving forward, especially if we're looking to build long-term sustainability of this work in New Mexico and identify the appropriate path moving forward for this work. So we really heavily rely on our partners who are in community and just value them and the incredible work they've done for many, many years.
And you bring up a good point about how as policy needs to focus on the community. And Councilwoman Bundy, that also brings up the questions about tribes across the country, including there in Montana, have different cultural beliefs. They have different resources. Not all tribes are the same. How does that play into this work of missing and murdered Indigenous people? Councilwoman Bundy, go ahead.
I believe, you know, developing the tribal community response plan really allowed us to look at what we have specific to us in our community. And so I think other tribes who are working on their tribal community response plans, it gives them an opportunity to identify people in their communities who can help that they may not have even been aware of. And I would just like to add a comment on the last gentleman's statement about community action and how important that is. In addition, I think we need to commit to individual action. Community action is great, but we also, as individuals, need to find our voices and be able to step up and speak up for people who may be scared or who don't know how to speak up or they're just afraid to. But taking individual actions to help address this issue is something I think we all need to do. And just watch out for one another. And I also just wanted to comment, you know, I also serve as the presiding officer for our state Missing Indigenous Persons Task Force, and holding community listening sessions has been something that was
super helpful in our work at that task force level, being able to hear from not only tribal communities, but our urban communities like Billings and, you know, some of our larger urban areas. But what they're seeing there is even greatly different than what we're dealing with on our reservation here at home. So giving other people, reaching out and giving other people opportunities to share and generate ideas so that we can work together is helpful as well.
Thank you, Councilwoman. And today you're listening to Native America Calling as we talk about missing and murdered Indigenous people. Join our conversation. The phone lines are open. Maybe you have some thoughts on this important issue and just how, you know, it seems like in the last few years, the movement with missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls has broadened, and we are including other relatives in this important topic. And our number is 1-800-996-2848. It's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. So give us a call. Don't wait till the end of the hour. Join now. And we have three guests joining us today from New Mexico, Minnesota, and Montana. And we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts? What do you think about this issue? What needs to happen? Is more attention needed, more resources? We hear a lot of these things coming from the community and these different task forces across the country. And also, how is it playing out nationally? Senator Kunesh, how has the national attention on this issue helped or not helped there in Minnesota?
Well, the global awareness, the national awareness has made an incredible difference. And I often like to point out that this pandemic, and I call it a pandemic because it is a global issue, is nothing new, because when you look at the history of the world, any time an Indigenous country or continent was discovered, and I say that in quotations, discovered by basically the Europeans, this kind of violence and trauma began immediately. And we can read that in, you know, Christopher Columbus's diaries and other journals from explorers who discovered and conquered these Indigenous nations. And so the global awareness has been especially affirming in our work because we can point to it in different areas in different parts of the world. But nationally, I think it's been really, really incredible. And the fact that we now have a Secretary of Interior, Deb Haaland, who has created a national unit to address this issue is going to make the work that all of us are doing at the state level much more meaningful, and hopefully will create a really good partnership. Because when I began this work, you know, it started with me here in Minnesota. I started after hearing the initial report from Canada and then looking around and doing a little more research and seeing, first of all, that there are reports of this happening across the United States, but there was minimal information and data to corroborate a lot of the things that we all know as Native folks and generationally, you know, the stories that were handed down or whispered to each other, or that missing relative and you're never quite sure what happened to her. And so the national and global awareness and the movement, you know, within each state doing their own unique work around this really supports each other. I have had a couple of different legislators from other states contact me, ask me about the work that I've been doing, and then, you know, could they basically copy it or use the process that we used in Minnesota in their state? And I said, yes, please do. Please, you know, let me know how I can help you and how we can work this together. Because if every state is doing this and basically doing it in the same way, collecting data, presenting the data in a way that is shareable, we basically have our national study right there without necessarily bringing in the federal government. And so it's been really affirming and very much helpful, especially as I meet more legislators who are doing this work and we can talk about it and troubleshoot and corroborate really well on it. It's very valuable to have that kind of support.
And we definitely hear a lot about the need for data. And that's something that also points to resources. A lot of times, a lot of places that have resources want to see the data. And I think really the movement of missing and murdered Indigenous people across the country and in Canada has really put an important spotlight on this issue, where now we have different days to commemorate that. And families are always out there advocating for their loved ones. And we definitely have, that's a whole other show, is talking about the data collection. But today we are talking about missing and murdered Indigenous people. And we want to hear from you. Our phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. We have three guests today from New Mexico, Minnesota, and Montana. We're looking at what's being done tribally, locally, statewide, and nationally and internationally. So we want to hear your thoughts. What's being done in your community? What do you see the needs are? And also, maybe you're one of the people who are in the grassroots level that work tirelessly on this work. The statistics that we do know of are very troubling, and it seems like we're seeing cases sometimes daily about missing and murdered Indigenous people. So give us a call, 1-800-996 or 1-800-99-NATIVE. That's also 1-800-996-2848. And you can leave some comments on our Facebook page if you feel more comfortable doing that. Find us on Native America Calling on Facebook, and or you can email us. Email us at comments@nativeamericacalling.com. And we are going to continue this conversation. I'd like to hear from the guests, talk a little bit about the importance of women doing this work. We have someone from Minnesota who's a state senator, but also a state with a lieutenant governor who's Native American. And we've mentioned Secretary of the Interior Deb Haaland, and how important is that to have a Native person in these positions of government that know these issues firsthand. And so how is that helping in this issue? Again, give us a call. We have to take another short break. It's 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. We'll be right back.
Are you a Native American entrepreneur? Have a business solution for an issue like racial equity or critical infrastructure? The Indian Loan Guarantee and Insurance Program is a federal program helping private lenders make the business loan you need. They support most businesses, whether starting up or expanding. Information available by emailing dci@bia.gov. That's dci@bia.gov. The Division of Capital Investment supports this show.
Thank you for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Antonia Gonzalez, and we're discussing missing and murdered Indigenous relatives today. You still have a chance to get in on the discussion, and we want to hear from you. Give us a call. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And I'd also like to welcome back our three guests joining us from New Mexico, Minnesota, and Montana. Thank you for joining us today for this important topic. Let's go ahead and go to the phone lines. Let's go to Joe, who's in Wisconsin, listening to us on WOJB. Hello, Joe.
Hi there. Thanks for having me, and thanks for joining us this important show. I'm non-Indigenous, but I have great concern over this. I grew up in Arizona, next to the Yavapai Indian Reservation, so many of my friends were Indigenous, and I've grown up to love and the culture. My question is this: as I've been listening to this, actually following this situation for a number of years, my question is: who do we have a profile of? Who may be the suspects in missing and murdered Indigenous peoples? Is it Indigenous peoples primarily? Is it non-Indigenous? Is there some sort of profile to identify?
Thank you for your question and your call today, Joe, from Wisconsin. And when we look at the statistics, federal statistics show us that a lot of the violence committed against Native women are committed by non-Natives. Councilwoman Bundy, what has been some of the information and statistics and data that you've seen serving on the task force in Montana about Joe's question?
It's a tough question to answer. I think it's one of those areas where we need additional data collection to really answer with any kind of surety. There's definitely, there is Indigenous people, you know, some of the cases may be within a family structure, dysfunctional family structures where perhaps it is an Indigenous family member in domestic violence situations, but that's not always the case. It is very prevalent to have a non-Native perpetrator, and there's just so many different circumstances with missing that I don't have the answer, I guess.
Yeah, thank you for that, and thank you, Joe, for calling in. Senator Kunesh, any thoughts to add?
Yeah, I that was something that we really look closely at here in Minnesota, and not always around the missing and murdered Indigenous relatives issue. Minnesota, and probably Wisconsin some, has an issue with sex trafficking because of our Great Lakes and the ability to move people out into the waters and either take them up to Canada, even over to Europe. So sex trafficking has been a really big issue. And of course, the extractment industry, oils and mining, has always drawn large number of men to those areas. And when these men have a lot of money in their pocket and nothing to do, definitely there is a terrible, terrible, tragic uptick in violence against women, violence and drugs in the communities, and of course the number of our Native American women that go missing. And so here in Minnesota, we had a hearing around sex trafficking and some of those things. And the question came up, like, what is the profile of a person that's buying sex in these sex trafficking things? And definitely one of our county attorneys basically said the profile that they've been able to identify is a white man in his middle 30s, has, recreational money, family man, and is just looking for a little bit of fun on the side. That's not to say that that's everyone that has produced violence against our communities. Our Native communities are very vulnerable, whether they're in the urban core or on the reservations. Many times you will find them, men preying on women, especially who need money for housing or to feed their families or just meet their basic needs. And the predators prey upon those vulnerabilities. And oftentimes it seems that, they're kind of used and abused and thrown away. And that has been one of the sort of scenarios that we have come to understand. And here in Minnesota, those are some of the things that we're trying to work really hard so that women and children and our two spirits don't find themselves in such vulnerable situations.
And Secretary Trujillo, the task force work also involves law enforcement and looking at these profiles and addressing some of these issues. Anything else to add to Joe's question, Secretary Trujillo?
Yeah, here in New Mexico, our initial data efforts really was based on trying to develop a baseline understanding of just the depth and the gravity of violence against our Indigenous women and relatives. We didn't get too far into the looking at the profiles. The task force received a presentation from a human trafficking task force here in New Mexico, too. I think it goes along with what Senator Cornish was mentioning about just the different intersections of these different issues in relation to missing and murdered relatives. And so I'm hopeful that we can build this out as we continue to do more work around data collection. The task force did reach out to local law enforcement here to get data that's available, as well as our tribal communities, to better understand not only the gravity of MYWR, but hopefully from that we can start to glean some of these profiles in our work moving forward.
And sex trafficking was mentioned a little bit, but there's also some work being done to focus on runaway youth. Councilwoman Bundy, share a little bit about why that's being looked at in Montana.
Yeah, thank you. So from 2017 to 2019, in one of our data reports, we identified that 80% of individuals on the missing persons list were juveniles under the age of 18. And so that has been really concerning to us. It's what we deal with most on the reservation. And so we've begun having conversations at the state task force level to try to get a better understanding about why that is and what we can do to help address that. And one of the helpful things we did was invite a group of high school students in to hear directly from them about what they felt the issues were and why they don't report when their friends may be in a runaway status, but and trying to learn more, where are these kids going when they do run away? Are they safe? Are they being fed? Are they couch surfing? And so it's a really important thing in Montana for us to try to get a grasp on. It would take our missing persons list down significantly if we could address just that piece of it alone.
And there's definitely a lot of different areas and issues to look at, and the need for resources and collaborations. And as we look forward with the different initiatives in each state and tribal communities across the country, Senator Cornish, what do you hope is the future of this office now that it's becoming a reality?
Well, I'm very optimistic about this missing and murdered Indigenous relatives office here in Minnesota. The way that we wrote the legislation, we're expecting it to be a permanent one, until a permanent office within our state government, until we don't need it anymore. I don't know that that will ever be the case, but we were able to put funding in there for an executive director, as well as three other persons within that office, and they will be able to go out into the communities, work with the tribes, work across our commissioners and different agencies to, address and set up the framework for protection and repair across our state. And the fact that we were able to do this in just literally 3 short years, I think is pretty significant and telling of Minnesota's dedication and intention to addressing these issues and putting resources, putting people in the government, literally within the government, and mandating that the entire state government work within the principles of the MMIR office is really significant. It's very telling how determined we are to address this. And I would just say one more part to this is that, we began with our native communities and the injustices against our MMIW, our women, girls, two spirits. But my hope was that once this was established, it would create the avenue for looking at other injustices against other groups of people that have historically been victimized. And fortunately, here in Minnesota, this past session, I also carried legislation that created an office to a task force to study the missing and murdered African American women, because we know that our Native folks, our African folks, just as it was said, there's a lot of intersectionality in the lack of resources, the violence, and perpetual preying upon these vulnerable communities. And so I'm very optimistic here in Minnesota, and I hope that we continue to carry this good work forward.
Well, thank you, Senator, for joining us today and for those thoughts. And we're coming to the end of the hour, but I also wanted to let Secretary Trujillo and Councilwoman Bundy wrap up their final thoughts. Go ahead, Secretary Trujillo.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I think I'm really hopeful here in New Mexico with all the efforts that have been taking place under this administration and through the department and with our allies. As I mentioned before, we'll be gearing up for the 2022 legislative session. I look forward to the recommendations that come from community and the task force. Maybe something such as the office that Minnesota established will materialize here in New Mexico, as well as other support systems. And I'm really hopeful and inspired by the collaboration I think that we could do together as states to learn from each other. Today, learning from Montana and Minnesota, but it's our responsibility to continue working towards creating safe spaces for our Indigenous women and relatives, and really to bring peace and healing to those who have been impacted by this crisis. So we have a lot to do, and I'm excited to continue that work in conjunction with community and other sister states.
Well, thank you so much, New Mexico Indian Affairs Secretary Lynn Trujillo and Councilwoman Bundy. Your hopes for the future and all of this work that's being done by your tribe and statewide.
Yeah, thank you. I just really hope that we can continue to identify the jurisdictional barriers across the state, and that we can improve the communications between our agencies across the state, and that we can all work together. New Mexico, Minnesota, Montana, we can start to work together, networking at a national level outside of just being so state focused would be helpful as well. And I'm just really grateful to these other two ladies who put so much heart into this work, and that's what it takes to keep this movement moving forward and trying to address these gaps. So my thoughts and prayers with all of you and the work that you are doing in your states. And again, just want to thank you for the opportunity to help educate the community on this devastating issue.
And thank you for that. And real quick, is there any resource that you can give out to people who maybe were listening to this today and they're interested in either the statewide task force or the tribal plan that is working on, and tribes across the country may mirror something similar to the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes Community Action Plan. Is there a resource or somewhere where folks can check that out?
And CSKT has chosen not to make our tribal community response plan public, just due to the nature of some of the pieces, especially regarding the law enforcement. But if other tribal communities are wanting to work on a plan, we would certainly work with them individually, and they just need to reach out to me. We have a non-disclosure agreement, and we'll certainly step up to help in any way we can with others wanting to work a plan.
Well, thank you so much, Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes in Montana, Councilwoman Ellie Bundy. And also we heard from New Mexico Indian Affairs Secretary Lynn Trujillo and State Senator Mary Kunish from Minnesota. We were talking about missing and murdered Indigenous relatives today here on Native America Calling, an important topic. We know tribes across the country are working on this issue, advocates, families. It's tireless work that people are doing to make sure that this is getting the attention it needs and resources. We look forward to the work by these to see what the work in this office in Minnesota and also in New Mexico and also the tribal plan there in Montana. Join us again tomorrow. We have another show coming up. We're going to be looking at the economy and looking at recovery and the job market. Maybe you've lost your job during the pandemic, or maybe you're a tribal business and you're having a hard time trying to hire some people. So tune in tomorrow to Native America Calling. Thank you to the crew and Albuquerque helping put the show together. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
The Association of American Indian Physicians and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention remind you, receiving the COVID-19 vaccination protects you, your family, and your community, and urge you to please contact your tribal or urban clinic to get your COVID-19 vaccination if you haven't already. More information at aaip.org or cdc.gov/coronavirus, who support this show.
Tadanista si, din teski, dinanelo huski, unto di, di dolski, ale a yelenuta nadega gutlai, higoli ya at insurekidsnow.gov, with tetlanoheta 1-877-543-7669, he agetanosa Medicare, ale Medicaid unadalka.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davis. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.